Good morning, church. It's great to be with you all this morning. I thank you, worship team, for leading us to the throne of grace with those beautiful songs of worship and truth. It's good to be with you all this morning. I was kind of joking around with some of the people earlier this morning. I hope I don't fall asleep in the midst of my sermon. It was a very hot day, busy day. It was a beautiful day, and we give God praise for his mercies, and I give him praise that the gospel was shared, and pray hearts were receptive to that. But thank you so much for a blessed week between the time with the ladies earlier this week and yesterday. It's been a blessing, and this time of worship with Christ has been good too. If you have your scriptures with you, please turn to the gospel according to Luke. We're in Luke chapter 6 this morning. We're actually ending chapter 6 this morning. We'll be looking at verses 46 to 49. If you want to use one of the pew Bibles around you, you can use page 863. So as you're turning there, let me pray, and we'll get started this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you for grace that is so amazing. Lord, we thank you for the truths that we sang, especially in the last song. Lord, we pray that the vision of you that would come to live amongst us for 30-some years to gain for us a righteousness that we could never earn for ourselves in the midst of people who would mock you and despise you and just wish you were dead, that you would be willing to lay down your life in the midst of a creation that wanted to destroy you, knowing that you would be our sacrificial lamb, knowing that you would die in our place, taking the wrath of God in our stead, knowing that you would pay the full price. Lord, we pray that never grows old, that it would become new every day, new and amazing more and more. As we come on this day, your day, to remember your resurrection from the grave, that God the Father was pleased with your sacrifice, and now that you rule and reign in glory, even now. Lord, we pray that you'd bless your people. I'm mindful of Gerald this morning, watching online. Lord, we pray that you prepare his heart and mind, Lord, as he gets prepared for his procedure on Wednesday. Lord, may he know your power and your grace and your healing touch and your love. Lord, we pray that you would teach us this morning from these few verses, challenging verses, as we think about our relationship with you, as we proclaim with our voices that you are Lord. But you want us to consider, is that a true reality in our hearts? And Lord, to prepare for the storms of life that come. So Lord, I pray that you would speak to each individual heart and mind with these truths right where they're at in this life and the things that they deal with on a day-to-day basis. Lord, that they would see King Jesus right there. That they would lean into him and depend upon him each day. That you would give that peace that surpasses all understanding. That you would guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who is King, who is Lord. So, Lord, we pray that you speak to each of our hearts. We pray that he would be exalted through your word. We pray in his name. Amen. Today we wrap up Jesus' sermon on the plain, theologians like to call it, the sermon on a level place, because he's coming down off of the mountain and speaking to them on a level place. We said it's very similar content to what Jesus shared when he was up on the mountainside, which you're familiar with, the Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Very similar content, but different occasions of preaching. Just some topics that we've covered thus far in this sermon for those who have been with us and to catch up others who are visiting with us. Jesus covered what's known as the Beatitudes, the blessing of understanding how desperately we need Christ in this world. The blessing of finding ultimate satisfaction in Christ alone, and the blessing for standing for the cause of Christ, though you may be persecuted. In the same sermon, Jesus challenged us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, while telling the gospel truths, while telling the truths of Christ, trying to love those who would despise us, to bless those who curse us, to respond well even when we're insulted. Jesus calls us to be merciful, he reminds us, and with an unhypocritical judgment of others, warning us to check our hearts first and foremost before we judge and demean others wrongfully around us. And lastly, he calls us to bear good fruit, that we need to check the treasures of our heart are, to realize that what we love in our hearts will flow out of what we say and what we do. And so to this morning, he's ending this sermon, and Jesus gives a challenge to you and me, to our hearts, along with this illustrative story of the importance of this decision. So if you have your scriptures, in Luke 6 at verse 46, this is how Jesus ends his sermon. He says in verse 46, he says, Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? You can just stop right there and just think about that all day. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man building a house. He dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not do them is like a man who builds his house on ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Again, the verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? And he's basically asking us in our first sermon point, is he really Lord over your life? It's such a great question. It's a convicting question, a challenging question each one of us needs to consider very, very carefully. Jesus says to you, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? He's saying, you say you love me, you say that I'm your God, you say that I'm your king, your good master, but you don't do what I say. You claim to have a relationship with me, an intimate relationship as that. You not just call me Lord, you call me Lord, Lord. Many people say they love Jesus, that they have a relationship with Jesus, but they do not do what Jesus says. In the same context, in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7:21, he says it this way. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does my Father will, who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty works in your name? He says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. You see, Jesus sees the intent of our hearts. Many people will say they love Jesus, but he really isn't Lord over their lives, their thoughts, their actions, their attitudes. For many, Jesus is cool. He's someone who loves us, someone who offers forgiveness, someone who can get us to heaven. But when it comes to the affections of our hearts and the desires of our wills and how we live our lives, well, we won't let Jesus rule there. We don't want him to be king of our hearts and our emotions and our thoughts and our actions. If you say Jesus is Savior and Lord of your life, that really needs to mean that Jesus is king, that Jesus is God, that he is your sovereign and good master. And your desire, though we struggle with sin, right, our desire should be whatever you say, Jesus, whatever you say. J.C. Ryle says, let it be a fixed principle in our religion that obedience is the only sound evidence of saving faith. Obedience is the only sound evidence of saving faith. Obedience doesn't save you, but it's evidence that you are saved. He says the talk of lips is worse than useless if it's not accompanied by sanctification of life. Is Jesus really Lord over your hearts? Is he really Lord over your life? Be reminded of who he is. He's the holy, infinite, eternal, unchanging God in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. He is the Lord who, though he was God, would take on human flesh, humble himself to the point of death on the cross for you. Because he loves you. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, gave him the name that is above every name, that every knee will bow at his name, and that name is Lord. Jesus is Lord, and he's the Lord who can sympathize with us. He is one who understands that we are tempted in so many ways with the things around us. He understands our struggle. And glory to God, he overcame. He never sinned once in our place. And he fills us with his Spirit to help us to overcome during those temptations. Jesus is Lord, whether you think he is or not. He rules and reigns over the universe. Right now, God has highly exalted him that all should surrender to his lordship. And so my prayer is that the words of adoration that you speak, I love Jesus, he's my Savior, he's my God, I pray that it matches the intention of your hearts. He's a Savior to come to bring forgiveness and pardon, and he's Lord to bring holiness and beauty and righteousness in our lives. And remind us that his ways prepare us for the storms of life. Again, listen to verse 47. He says, everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I'll show you what he's like. It's like a man who builds a house and dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it. It had been well built. But the one who hears my words and does not do them is like a man who built his house on the ground without foundation, and the stream broke against it and immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Leads us to our second point, that Jesus is saying storms will come to everyone. The storms of life will come to everyone, and he's saying, are you prepared when the flood comes your way? Being a Christian will not keep you from the floods of life. We live in a fallen world. This life is not to be our best life, but a life that points us, that causes us to yearn for the glory and the kingdom that is to come when Jesus comes back. And Jesus is telling us, just because you say I am Lord doesn't mean you should expect to go through this life without facing storms, without facing heartaches, without facing challenges. But he says, prepare for these storms. Hear my words, memorize my words, believe my words, do my words, and you'll be prepared when those storms, when those floods, when that river smacks you when you don't even expect it coming. Typically, we know bad things happen, but often we don't think they'll happen to us. And Jesus is saying, hear my words, know my truth, believe these things, prepare for the storms. Storms of various kinds of sufferings, living in a fallen world, death itself, the judgment of God, persecution to believers, our weaknesses, the insults, the hardships, the calamities, sin with its consequences, fallenness of the world and people around us. Storms will come. Storms when your expectations and dreams of life turn out in a way that you didn't expect and took a drastic turn. These are storms that will come, that will crush and beat against our hearts and our souls like a raging flood. Can cause us to doubt, can cause us to question, where's Jesus? And if we're not prepared with the truths of Christ, we can experience great ruin. Reminds me of the story in Matthew 8 when Jesus gets in a boat. And the disciples get in a boat with him and they go in the Sea of Galilee. And you know the story. There's the great storm and they're being swamped by the waves as he's asleep. And they went and woke up. And Jesus, save us, Lord. We are perishing. And he says to them, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Then he rose and rebukes the winds and the sea, and there's great calm. And the men marvel, saying, what sort of man that even the winds and the sea obey him? It's a story that reminds us that Jesus sends us into storms. Jesus is with us in the storms. He'll bring us through the storms, all the way to glory. For the Christian, death just becomes a doorway to victory. As we close our eyes in this world and we see our Savior face to face. The disciples would know these things. They would remember these things as they would be martyred for the cause of Christ. To live as Christ, to die as gain. Timothy Keller, who's battling cancer, he says, if God would allow his perfect son, Jesus, to suffer here on earth, we can expect the same thing. Jesus is saying storms will come. It's how you prepare. What you do with Jesus, our last point, what you do with Jesus and his truth will determine if you stand or come to ruin. Hearing his word, doing his word, puts you on solid footing for life and eternity. We do the promises of God. We obey the promises of God. We believe the promises of God and walk in obedience. How will you stand against the flood of God's judgment? What truths are you holding to? What are you depending on? What is your assurance? As Jesus would say, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. It's already condemned. But whoever believes in Christ is not condemned. Jesus has given you his truth. He's given himself to prepare you for the storm of God's judgment that you'll be able to stand in that day. We're reminded in Romans 1 as we take Jesus by faith, as we turn from our sins and trust him, hearing these words, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have been justified by faith and we have peace with God through Christ. Without the foundation of Christ and trusting in Christ, there's only ruin. And how will you stand as you approach the storm of death? When death is knocking at your door, what will be your hope? What will cause you to stand? 1 John 5:11. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the Son of God that you may know you have eternal life. As Jesus would say in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? It's hearing, it's doing, it's believing, walking in obedience to these truths. And in John 6, "This is the will of him who sent me. I will lose nothing of all that he has given me. I'll raise him up on the last day, for this is the will of the Father, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day." Again, it's taking these truths, believing these truths, trusting in Christ, who is this rock, who is this foundation through all these storms that can come our way. And how will you stand as you face tribulations and sufferings of various kinds? I'll give you two promises. 2 Corinthians 12. Paul pleaded three times with the Lord that he would take away his burden. But Jesus says to him, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, I'm content with weaknesses and hardships and insults, persecutions and calamities. For when I'm weak, when I'm suffering, when I'm going through tribulation, when I'm resting in Christ, I am strong." And Romans 5 reminds us that God uses the tribulations and sufferings. "Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Christ. Through him we've obtained access by faith into his grace, in which we stand, we rejoice in hope. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he's given us." And one more reminder from 2 Corinthians 4:16. We do not lose heart. We do not lose heart, though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day, for this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Jesus is saying, "You call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say. I am that rock. I am that foundation you need to build your life upon. Because storms are coming, whether it's judgment, whether it's death, whether it's suffering, whether it's fear." And he says, "I've come to give you life and give it abundantly." He says, "Hear my words, believe my words, trust my words, because when those storms come, you will stand on Christ." It takes work. It takes discipline. It takes responsibility. It's getting in his word, looking to what he's saying. It's underlining, it's hiding, highlighting, it's memorizing, it's chewing on these things, that when the storms come, your mind goes first to the truths of Christ, who he is, what he's done, what he's promised. And in the meantime, living as we love those around us, loving our enemies, loving our neighbors, and loving God. Are you prepared for the storms of life? Is Jesus really Lord? He's reminding you storms will come, and he says, "What you do with me and my words will greatly affect whether you'll stand or whether you'll be shaken and come to ruin." Again, the very first point is enough for us to consider. You say to me, "Lord, Lord, why don't you do what I say?" Believing his promises, trusting his promises, living out those promises while resting on the foundation of Christ and Christ alone. May we be able to say with the hymnist, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Go to your Savior. Go to Christ. Go to the King. Go to the Lord. Rest on His sovereignty. Rest on His power. Believe them. Chew on them. Share them. Memorize them. And walk in His love. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank You for Your convicting love, Your gracious love that drives us to You to be our foundation and our rock. Lord, we believe at times, Lord, help our unbelief. Lord, sometimes we're like Peter walking on the waves and we get distracted. If we just keep our eyes on You, we won't sink. But Lord, when we do sink, You are so kind and gracious to reach down and grab us, hold on to us, and pull us back up. So Lord, we pray that Your Spirit would fill our hearts and our minds with these great truths as we confess that we have fallen short in many ways. But Lord, we also believe that You love us, and that love never changed, and that love was demonstrated on that cross. That You loved us at our worst. You'll love us through our sanctification. You'll love us all the way to glory. May that fill our hearts and our minds with a joy, knowing that we can prepare for whatever's to come, building on that foundation, who is Christ, who is the chief cornerstone, which everything hinges. So Lord, we pray that You bless us with these truths, remind us of these truths, revive us in these truths, and bless Your people, we pray. Amen.